An annual survey has found a significant drop in the use of capital punishment around the globe, but China remains the most prolific user of the death sentence. Every year, Amnesty International compiles these figures. The survey released today shows a 30% decline in executions, bringing the total to its lowest since the human rights group started counting a decade ago. This comes as a number of countries in our region, including Brunei, Sri Lanka and Thailand, have looked to increase or resume the use of capital punishment. Rose Kulak is an anti-death penalty campaigner with Amnesty International. Rose Kulak, welcome to Breakfast.
Good to be here, Fran.
The number of executions worldwide dropped almost 1,000 in 2017 to just under 700 in 2018. That's a significant drop, which is good news. Why did it happen?
Well, it is a significant drop and it is good news, just as you're saying. Because we do this every year, and we've got to remember the death penalty is a long-term campaign, it's actually the trends over the years that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, if we look back to 1977, when Amnesty started campaigning, there was only 16 countries that actually had abolished the death penalty. Now we're looking at 106 countries with about 142 that have abolished in law or practice. In terms of last year, so when we're looking at it at a micro level from year to year, it's hard to tell because everything's kind of aggregated and we look from year to year. But last year, if we just look at Iran, who is our second biggest executor in around the world, they had, in the previous year, they had executed at least 500 people, and last year it had dropped to 250. That's still 250 too many, but that actually at the end of the year changed some of their narcotic laws, and the mandatory death penalty hasn't been applied to as many people, and they didn't carry out the executions.
What sort of crimes are attracting the death penalty?
Well, narcotics, the death penalty,
you said?
Around the world, there's still crimes that you wouldn't think of, like you mentioned China before. And arson, for example, can get you the death penalty in China. Espionage, spying can get you the death penalty as well. And now we've seen in Brunei the terrible announcement that, laws that, you know, same-sex couples.
Let's talk about China, because the overall figure that Amnesty has published of death sentences around the world last year, 2,531. But then you list country by country, you've talked about Iran, but you say China leads global executions with thousands. Now that's pretty non-specific, thousands. Amnesty's stopped trying to get a specific figure. Why is that?
Well, we stopped because we couldn't get accurate figures. And this is like China keeps it as a state secret. So it's really hard to get that kind of data. But I mean, we work with organisations and there's people on the ground, so there's news reports, there's court rulings, there's evidence of bodies when families are asked to pick up the bodies of their deceased loved ones. So we know that the figure's far greater. But because we stopped publishing, because we were always publishing a much lower figure that we could verify, and the government was using that and to say that their execution rates weren't that great. So we just stopped because we couldn't.
That means it is, I mean, if the total is 2,531, but we don't know what China is, it's likely to be much higher than that.
It is, yeah.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 to 9. Our guest is Rose Kulak, an anti-death penalty campaigner with Amnesty. What's happening in our region? Malaysia, I know, has announced it's going to introduce a bill to abolish the death penalty. That's a significant move, though it hasn't happened yet. Is that the direction things are moving in our region?
From a country to country level, there are different things happening. And the thing that I grab hope of is that we are moving away from the death penalty. But Malaysia, if we do talk about Malaysia, there, and it does show, I mean, I'm going to use the term political will, because when with the change in government in Malaysia last year after the election, there was that announcement of a moratorium, basically, on executions. And then on the 10th of October, which is World Day Against the Death Penalty, they announced that they were going to abolish the death penalty. And that's fantastic. That's what we want every country who's still executing to be doing. However, there's been very little movement since then, because you want to see the legislation on the table and you want it passed, like you were saying. And in March, there's been murmurings of like, well, maybe there's 11 crimes that we might make it no longer mandatory to sentence to death.
So that kind of backtracking, that suggests that it is an electoral interview. You talked about political issue to some degree. I mean, what are the politics around this? Generally, are populations supportive of the death penalty or not. I noticed Iraq, those being executed, has really dropped off. Is that in response or a reflection of public attitudes? Where would you say public attitude lies?
Public attitude, it fluctuates, and it fluctuates in every country. So it's really hard to sort of pin down and say that this is actually the resulting in terms of what's happening in a particular country. I think it's mainly with the leaders coming in, because with Malaysia, it was a real change in terms of their approach to the death penalty. But even if we look at Iran, who's the one that we have some figures for, and the second largest executioner after China, they had their execution, like I was saying, has actually dropped by half, and they changed some of their laws, but at a great expense as well. There are anti-death penalty campaigners in Iran, but like there's Atina Daemi, who's currently serving 7 years for speaking out against the death penalty.
Right.
So it's at great cost that on the ground people are fighting the death penalty and changing that public perceptions and public views.
And what about the United States? Where's its policy? Has that changed? Because I think the number of executions in the US have gone down, haven't they?
They actually went up by a couple, but
they've been dropping.
Over time, yes, if we're talking over time. So the US currently, we've got at the end of the year, Washington State was the last one saying it was unconstitutional, they were going to get rid of the death penalty abolished. So that's 20 out of 50 states that have now abolished the death penalty. And earlier this year, or a few weeks ago, California said, look, we're putting a moratorium on this. So they are moving away from it. But there are still executing states, and you know, one of the last I read the report, and one of the things that stuck out in my mind was that there was actually one across the world, one execution that was related to the electric chair, which I haven't seen for about a decade or anything being mentioned. And yeah, in Tennessee, there was one man who chose the electric chair, thinking that was going to be a quicker way to go than a lethal injection, which is just how tragic this situation is.
It sure is. Rose, thanks very much for joining us. Rose Kulak is an anti-death penalty campaigner with Amnesty International. Their latest report on the global use of capital punishment is released today.